If you've suffered a tragedy in your life, have you ever wondered if things would have turned out differently had it not? Would it have turned out better? That's what we're going to be talking about today on the 100 Huntley Street podcast with your hosts, Cheryl Weber and Mark Masri. We are so glad you've joined us today. And Cheryl, like this whole subject of suffering, we don't really like to talk about it, do we?
No, I was kind of thinking of leaving the room maybe and, you know,
Cheryl,
you could
come back.
Right, exactly. Oh, why is it so hard to talk about? And, you know, the thing is, like the fact that we don't talk about it doesn't help us when suffering comes. Like when our pastors, our churches, our theologians aren't prepping us, you know, and they're just telling us that here in the West, we're just going to have this amazing life. Like I actually grew up thinking from what I heard in faith communities that I would have like at least a couple luxury cars, totally be in perfect health forever and be rich.
Well, you must be doing something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I need to go repent because honestly.
No, in all seriousness. We can often equate the lack of those types of blessings in our lives with, you know, wrongdoing. There's something that I haven't confessed. I'm not living the right way. I'm not close enough to God. I'm not spending enough time reading the Bible or praying. I don't have enough faith. And today's guest, Johnny Erickson Tada, I've loved interviewing her on a number of occasions. And she's just one of those people that it's almost hard to believe how much joy she's full of considering her story.
And I love the fact that she really was so vulnerable and transparent with you in a way I haven't really heard before when she talked about like waking up in chronic pain in the middle of the night and just, you know, thinking of that verse that says that we are not crushed in 2 Corinthians 4:8 and how, you know, she has to say to herself, this pain is not going to crush me. I don't even know how I would survive that. Like not for one night or for a month, but for year after year.
Yeah. And she prayed and prayed and prayed, and people prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that she would be healed. And for those of you that don't know her story, she's going to get into it in a minute, but she jumped off a raft in the middle of the summer and hit her head on the bottom on a sandbar, and she broke her neck. She has been in a wheelchair for over 50 years.
Wow.
And, you know, she wondered, you know, I'm not going to give away too much of the interview, but she has some really, really sobering responses to some pretty hard questions that I ask her about. How does she reconcile her faith and her trust and hope that she's put in Jesus with not necessarily ever being liberated from that chair? And she's got some profound insights.
She is a very, very wise woman. So let's go right now, Mark, to your interview with Johnny Erickson Tada.
I'll always remember the night my home church featured a film that would make an indelible impression on me. I'm talking early 80s here, long before the digital streaming age, long before digital anything. The movie was called Johnny. It was based on the book by the same title, and I'm referring to the one, the only, Johnny Erickson Tada. And although we've shared her story on Huntley Street before, I'm so pleased that I get the opportunity to chat with her about her updated self-titled biography, Johnny, an unforgettable story. Welcome back to Huntley Street, Johnny.
Oh, I'm glad you said welcome back, Mark, because you're right. I was on 100 Huntley Street, I'm going to say decades ago. So, thank you for having me back.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. And I want to say congratulations on the 45th anniversary of your book. You know, you're a celebrated author, artist, speaker, you know, advocate for persons with disabilities. But tell us just briefly about the story of that day, July 1967, that would change your life forever.
Well, I'm sure there may be many young viewers today who are clueless as to what my story is all about. But it was 55 years ago. I was a teenager, athletic, on the go. I took a reckless dive into shallow water that snapped my head back and crunched my fourth vertebrae, severing my spinal cord. And instantly I became a quadriplegic without use of my hands. And your viewers can't see this, but I'm also in a wheelchair. That's been for 55 years. Wow, that's a long time. And Mark, as you can imagine, I was plummeted into depression because overnight my life was completely altered. And I could not understand why a good God would allow something so tragic to happen to one of his children, a new believer. In fact, a new believer who had only, right before the accident, had asked for a closer walk with Jesus. And my goodness, if this was an answer to a prayer for closer intimacy with the Lord, I wasn't so sure he could be trusted with any more prayers. So I was pretty depressed at first, for sure.
In your book, you talk about God's ultimate purpose is that we remain hopeful in our suffering. Can I ask you, how long was it, Johnny, before you were able to accept God's purpose for you, this new season, this new reality for you?
You know, I think it was about 3, maybe 4 or 5 years until I finally was able to come up out of suicidal depression. Mm-hmm. You mentioned those words, hopeful. And all I can say is many Christian friends were praying for me, Mark. You know, even to this day, people say, Johnny, I've got a friend who just broke his neck. How can I best help him? Well, of course, I say, please, by all means, embody the gospel for that young man. He needs to see Jesus, compassion in his hurt. But secondly, pray for that person. Because we wrestle not against the flesh and blood of spinal cord injury, or for other people, it might be multiple sclerosis or a botched surgery or a bad job or a dead-end marriage. No, we don't wrestle against the flesh and blood of these things. We wrestle against powers and principalities that would love nothing more than to keep us steeped into the kind of depression that I was in when I was first injured. So stay hopeful, be prayerful, and embody the Lord Jesus Christ and his compassion to people who hurt.
And you have lived that out. And I want to touch on something that you just mentioned. You talked about, you know, having just made a decision to passionately walk a journey with Jesus. And then you kind of wondered, how could a loving God allow something like this to happen? I've got to ask you, it's the big question that you've very likely been asked thousands of times over the years. How do you reconcile a loving God with the challenges that you've faced as a devout follower of Jesus and so many others?
Well, there was a very good friend who early on shared 10 little words that changed my life. And those words are, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Now, Mark, think about it. Think about the cross of Jesus Christ. It involved torture, treason, injustice, murder. And you think, how can any of that stuff be God's will? Yet it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 28, that these men, that is the mob in the streets, Pontius Pilate, Judas Iscariot, these men did, it says, what God's power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So let me break that down. God permits what he hates, the cross of Jesus. It ain't a pretty picture. It's a lot of carnage up there on Calvary. He permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And what could he possibly prize above the death of his own precious son? How about salvation for the whole world who would but believe in his son? And honestly, Mark, when I heard those words and I heard it explained in the context of Christ's suffering, it made sense to me because God permitted what he hated, my spinal cord injury. He takes no pleasure in such devastating disabilities, but he permitted it in order to accomplish something that he loved. And what could he possibly prize above my broken frame and inability to use my hands or legs? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh my goodness, Mark, this suffering has driven me, pushed me into the arms of my Savior. I go there every morning out of desperate need. And what has it done? It has transformed my life and made me love Jesus. And oh my goodness, knowing him is so much better than walking or having use of your hands, honestly.
Joni, there's so much life in everything you're sharing, and I know it comes from a deep, profound experience with the one you profess, Jesus Christ, and a love for him. Have you ever given any thought as to how life for Johnny Erickson might have turned out differently had she not jumped off the raft that afternoon?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd be in my second divorce. Maybe I'd be maxing out my credit card at the clearance sales. Maybe I'd be binge watching Heartland. How about that? I love your Canadian TV series. Or maybe I would be, I don't know, off on a ski vacation to the Alps. I don't know what I would be doing, Mark. All I know is I would not be sitting here talking to you about such profound things. about the goodness of our God and our great Savior, Jesus Christ, I just know I wouldn't be talking about him like this. So suffering for me, and maybe for our viewers, you can look at it this way. Suffering is like a sheepdog snapping and biting your heels, driving you down the road to Calvary, where otherwise you might not be humanly inclined to go. But it is suffering that pushes you down that road to the cross, where you just cast yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, I can't do this, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Mark, I live with chronic pain. Don't be thinking that's some trite platitude I said years back. No, I live that way every day in chronic pain. I need Jesus desperately.
Well, you know, we want our viewers to know that the story continues, which is why you've re-released this celebrated book, over 5 million copies sold already in its existing form. Tell us a little bit about your journey over the past 10 or so years, because you had a couple diagnoses that would rock your world yet again.
Absolutely. As I just said, I lived with chronic pain, but I also had two battles against stage 3 cancer, and I'm still in a battle against cancer. And Mark, I'll never forget, my husband was driving me home from chemotherapy one day, and I was in my wheelchair tied down in the back of the van, and we're having this conversation through the rearview mirror, and we're talking, going down the freeway, about how suffering is like little splashovers of hell, kind of like, whoa, waking you up out of your spiritual slumber to get you seriously thinking about the actual hell from which Christ rescued you. And when my husband Ken pulled up in the driveway, we turned off the ignition and we sat there discussing, well, then what are splashovers of heaven? Are they those easy, breezy, bright days where all the bills are paid and there's no aches or pains and everything's going hunky-dory? And we decided, those aren't splashovers of heaven. A splashover of heaven is finding Jesus Christ in your splashover of hell. I don't know why God does this, but he shares his joy on his own terms. And those terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as his son Jesus suffered. And so there's nothing more heavenly, I don't think, than finding Jesus in the middle of your hell. And I'm sure all of our viewers can identify with that. We've all had those moments, those heartbreaking moments when we've been in such anguish, and yet Jesus shows up, and it's so, so precious because he's in the middle of your hell. I think that's where God loves to manifest himself, because he certainly did that, exactly that, on the cross.
To that person that's watching right now, Johnny, that's right in the midst of it all, they're at the end of their rope, they're desperate for rescue in their situation, what would you say to that person right now?
Hold on to the promises of God. The Bible says no temptation, no test has come upon you except what is common to man, but God will make a way of escape. And I am convinced that that, quote, way of escape is almost always his promises in his word. For instance, how about this promise? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Though we are hard-pressed on all sides, we are not crushed. I want our friend listening who's going through anguish to hold on to that anchor, because no doubt you feel hard-pressed on every side, but would you please hold on to that anchor that you will not be crushed if you would but hold on to the promises of God. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you, he promises. He promises to be your ever-present help in this trouble that you find yourself in. He promises that his grace will indeed be sufficient. Mark, as I said, I live with chronic pain. And often at night when I am awakened by my pain, and I do not dare ask my husband to come in and turn me in my bed one more time to reposition my hips, I think about 2 Corinthians 4:8, because I feel hard-pressed in on all sides, but I say, Jesus, this pain will not crush me, So I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to walk into this fiery furnace of affliction as though it were the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to believe that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to believe I'm going to find you there, the Son of God. And so, Mark, there is never a night where I do that when I don't find Jesus. So if you are tested and tempted to be complaining or grumbling or doubtful or fearful or full of anxiety, hold on to those promises. It is suffering which will really prove what you believe about God. So don't miss this opportunity to honor his name and to have your faith strengthened by clasping with both hands onto every biblical promise you can find in his word.
And I love that throughout our time together, Johnny, I've just heard you quote scripture after scripture after scripture, the promises of God's word. And I think just even in this moment, I want to encourage our viewers, if you are looking for hope, if you are looking for life, go to the word of God. Go to scripture. It is God breathed. It is full of promises. It's you know, as they say it, it's what you can, it, you can take it to the bank. And you've just heard Johnny talk about her own experience and just how it's been healing balm to her throughout the course of her life and the various challenges. Johnny, I've got to ask you, you know, you're a celebrated artist, a wonderful visual artist, author, speaker. You're an advocate for persons living with disabilities. You've got, you know, Johnny and Friends. You've got Johnny's House. What is your greatest accomplishment in all of those things?
Oh, my goodness. What a great question. Okay, I would say being a good wife to my husband. It doesn't matter that I knew Billy Graham on a first name basis or have written 50 books or lead a global ministry to serve people with disabilities around the world. If it doesn't work at home behind closed doors, it ain't working. Mm-hmm. And so I dedicate my whole efforts to be the best wife that I possibly can to my husband. I may not be able to fold his laundry or iron his shirts or open the refrigerator door or crack an omelet in the skillet, but I can encourage him, cheer him on, applaud his efforts. I can affirm him. Even when he irritates me, I can find some small little vestige of what is very good in my husband, and I will nurture it with my words of affirmation. And I would encourage every spouse listening to do the same with your marriage partner. Just find ways to affirm your husband. That is the most intimate relationship other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the primary relationship in your life. You better believe it. So don't be focusing on, you know, oh, I want a public ministry for my life. No, the real big deal is being a good supporter to your spouse and to your closest family members. That's where it counts. That's where the rubber meets the road.
As they say, and what a great encouragement to couples and supporting each other. And I love how you two as a couple have lived that out in the public you know, there's one other question I've got to ask you because, you know, of course, this little thing called COVID hit, you know, a couple of years. Hopefully we're looking at COVID in our rearview mirrors now. But there was something very interesting about this particular pandemic that God used to help your ministry thrive, I guess is the best way I can put it. Share with us some of the details of that.
Well, as your listeners, viewers probably know, we deliver wheelchairs and Bibles around the world. We mobilize churches to embrace people with disabilities. We provide resources. We hold retreats for families with special needs in America and in developing nations, partnering with Christian Horizons in Canada to do the same. But during COVID, we realized overseas, people don't need wheelchairs. Disabled people need food. They need medical supplies. They're being denied access. I mean, we experience supply chain line problems here in North America. Oh my goodness, in developing nations, there's not even a supply chain.
Right.
And so quickly we pivoted and we came up with what we call Johnny's Houses. These are disability centers in developing nations where we not only do evangelism and provide discipleship opportunities and Bible studies, but we distribute wheelchairs, do wheelchair repair. We do job skills training for people with disabilities so they can be hired. We provide scholarships through surgical procedures, and we help them with the admission and post-op procedures. We just do everything we can to support life where the disability community is suffering the greatest. I must say, we're in El Salvador, Nepal. We're building a Johnny's House in Brazil. We were just ready to construct a Johnny's House in Ukraine, but then the war broke out. And of course, we gave permission to our Ukrainian partners to redirect all that lumber and concrete to board up and barricade homes where people with disabilities are residing and keeping safe. So we're on the front lines when it comes to the needs of those with disabilities and in the global scene.
Indeed you are. And it sounds like you're just getting going, even 55 years in, you guys are just getting going, and blessings on all that you're doing. Johnny, I can't tell you, I wish we had more time. I've been so honored to have had this opportunity to share with you today and for our viewers to just get a sense of your heart once again. You know, like I said earlier on, for decades, you've exemplified the steadfastness and dedication to the one Jesus Christ that you profess to love and serve. And I know God is going to continue to use you in mighty ways. And just thank you for popping by today. And thank you for sharing so meaningfully with us today. And I want to let our viewers know that perhaps haven't read the book, I would definitely recommend that you get it. It's Johnny, An Unforgettable Story. It's anywhere you can get really good books. That's where you'll find her book. Once again, Johnny, thanks so much for joining us today, and God bless you.
And thanks for mentioning that book. It's all there if people want to be encouraged further.
Okay, Mark, that was an incredible conversation. What a woman. The hope that she has, the joy that she has in the midst of going through something so hard. And, you know, I just think so many people walk away from their faith when suffering comes, you know, and that's partly the outcome of not talking about it, not teaching about it, not, you know, telling us that suffering is going to come as part of life, of being on this earth. Just by nature of being on this earth, there are going to be hard things that will happen to you. You know, you're going to lose people that you love. You know, there's just going to be bumps along the road. There could be health challenges. And if we're not actually spiritually prepared for that, then it's very easy at that point to just kind of walk away and say, you know what, God's not who I thought I was, because if he's going to let my child die, then I don't want anything to do with him. Like, what do you say to someone like that, Mark?
I mean, I don't know. Oftentimes I just stay quiet. It's a very difficult. And I think, you know, talking about the church's response to some of the suffering, sometimes there's been a distorted type of teaching along this in this area where we have been made to believe that we shouldn't suffer, we shouldn't be lacking in any area of our lives, and that maybe there is something wrong, what we talked about off the top. And the reality is that there is season in our lives where we will go through trial and testing and suffering, and being acquainted with the sufferings of Christ is very much part of the Christian walk, the Christian existence. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take away the sting and the hurt and the pain that someone's facing in any given moment if they've lost, like you said, a child. And how do you reconcile that? And, you know, like when I asked Johnny that question, you know, how do you reconcile your faith with Jesus and never being liberated from the chair? And she just said, a friend shared this with her. She said, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Mm. He loves us, and sometimes the pain and the suffering that we face, that we go through in life, is actually going to bring an even greater depth of love and trust in our walk with him. All he's looking for in us is our trust and our affection and our surrender to him, and sometimes it takes losing something or someone to get us to that place, Cheryl.
I know, and you know, I've been wrestling with this issue for a lot of my life. I had an experience probably a couple decades ago where I prayed this crazy prayer: God, I want to know you as you are, not as I think you are, not as I've been told you are, not as I'm comfortable with you being, but who you actually are. And I didn't have any teaching on suffering. And so guess what happened after that? Like, I literally lost I went through a whole Job experience. I lost everything. It was just awful, awful, awful. But even more recently, I was in the hospital for a month, and after a surgery, I went into surgery and everybody was praying for me. And when I came out, they said to me, you're the worst case scenario. And I was like shocked, like literally shocked, because so, you know, it's like, I'm a daughter of God. All these people are praying for me. It's going to go well. And then I got infected in the incision and the surgical site. And then they're like, you're the worst of the worst case scenario. I'm thinking like,
wow,
God,
okay.
Like, you know,
tell
all these
you
people
really feel.
Are praying yeah. and like no result. Like, I don't understand. And I mean, there's, you know, when I got out of the hospital after a month, there was so many things that I could see. There was a girl there that literally had died 10 times and came back to life. And the person, the anesthesiologist, I think it was, that was with her, said, like, I've never seen anything like it. I don't know what you believe, but you're here for a reason. And this girl had been searching and searching. And so we had incredible times of prayer. And I remember she said to me, I had spent a whole week throwing up after my surgery on an abdominal incision, if you can imagine. Like, I literally wanted to die. I didn't want to live. And she said, you're the only person I feel peace around. I'm thinking, while I'm throwing up, like, I don't even understand. She was my roommate. And it's just the presence of God, right? And so afterwards, I was still, even though I saw that, I was still struggling with, like, God, why did you take me through that? Why weren't you answering those prayers? This guy prayed for me and he said, he didn't even know me. He says, I see you walking down a road and you hit a wall and you can't get over it and you can't get under it and you can't get around it. But then you stop and you look up and you see God and he says to you, but you know me, Cheryl. You know me. And I started bawling, first of all, because that God would say that I know him is like the most amazing thing. But the other part of it for me was that, yeah, like, I do know that you're good. I do know that you're kind. I do know that you're love. And so it's strange because I still don't have an answer for why that happened to me or the way it did. I mean, I could pick out lots of little thing God moments, but it just ended it for me. It ended all the discussion, all the struggling I was doing within myself, because I just went, yeah, I know who you are. And so I may not understand this, but it does not change your character. And I heard someone say once, don't let your experience change what you know about God, what the Bible says, what is true. Mm. Like, don't let your experience rewrite what we know to be true.
Yeah. And how much we can be driven by our own, like, driven by our own experiences and how we're feeling. And Johnny even said, you know, just believing the promises of God, holding on to them, who he is, who he says we are, how we will overcome. We will overcome. And it will come at the time when God sees fit for us to overcome whatever obstacle. So for you to have that experience, I'm not surprised. And yet in the moment, we're there and we're like, this is hopeless. You know, is this ever going to get better? And, you know, I'm doing what the doctors are telling me to do.
Am I going to die?
Like, right. You start asking all these questions. But just holding on to the promises of God. And it sounds like we're just oversimplifying it, friends, but really it is. And we know that your journey of faith, for all of us, a journey of faith, there's struggle that comes with that. I mean, the reality is we're all just trying to figure this out as we go. And we've got the Bible as a wonderful instruction manual for how God sees us and what his plan is for us. And we've got the opportunity to approach Jesus through prayer, and there's nothing standing in between us and God. And so we want to encourage you that if you're looking for answers right now, I'm going to tell you right now, Cheryl and I don't have them, but we know that God does. We know that God does have the answer that you need. And it may just be a word of a comfort, a word of reassurance that he is there with you in the midst of the storm. You know, there are examples where Jesus was out with his disciples out on the water and a storm comes up and just him speaking the word peace and there was calm over the water. And that's all that he has to do, friends, is just speak the word peace over your situation, calm, healing, restoration, wholeness. That's all he has to do is just speak the word. And it will be your reality. So we want to remind you, we've got prayer lines that are available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call 1-866-273-4444. We also have our digital pastor that you can reach at crossroads.ca. And there's a chat icon there on that opening page. And we just want to make sure that you make yourself available to that. And or we want to make that available to you and just know that we're there for you. We're praying for you and want to encourage you in your journey.
The honest truth is you never have to go through anything that you're facing alone. There are resources available to you. We are passionate about making them available to you. So please send that email, find that chat, make that call. I hope that you are inspired and encouraged today. You've been listening to the 100 Huntley Street podcast, Mark Masri and Cheryl Weber.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Centre of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.